Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, the Faith and Freedom Show. I just got a message on Facebook from a friend. In where we are, there's a man who's been running the sheriff's department for years. I've had encounters with some of these guys that are running the sheriff's department, the jail. Love it. Can I tell you what? In fact, I've had sheriffs in courtrooms endorse me personally. Somebody came to me and contacted me. I said, well, where'd you find out about me? Why are you calling me about your issue? And they said, well, this sheriff's deputy told me about it. Oh, which one? I figured out who it was later. Somebody I'd never met was talking good about me and saying, hey, you know, you need to, this guy might have some information that'll help you out. I didn't know the guy from anybody, but I've seen him since then. I had to go for a traffic thing. And so I figured out who the guy was. After I heard the description of the sheriff, I thought, how does this guy know about me? He's just one guy out of a sheriff's department. I've been in the jail, not because I was taken to jail, but I was actually doing a ministry where I was giving free computer training, and they needed somebody to come in and give computer training to some of these guys who were in the jail for a long period of time. They were really one of these things where it's like, well, they've got nothing better to do. They have no skills whatsoever, so can you come in? So I actually gave them at least a dozen computers, functional computer systems, to the jail system. I went in to set it up, and I was spending time in there, and it's a long story. But again, I wasn't incarcerated. And the people I dealt with, I thought, this place has got the ability to impact people in a positive way while they're in jail. They treat people with respect, even though they're criminal, as if they were created in the image of God. If they misbehave, they clamp down on them like toot sweet, man. They're just Johnny on the spot. They take care of it. But if everybody's behaving, they say, hey, you're doing time. You did the crime. You're going to do the time. But that doesn't mean we're going to treat you like dirt. We're going to honor you. You honor us. We honor you. You don't honor us. We're going to make you pay. Okay. We don't make you pay, but they make sure they nip the inappropriate conduct in the bud. This sheriff's department, I'm telling you what, ought to be a model for other places. There's a guy who's running against the current sheriff. So I just get a thing from a friend of mine saying, he didn't ever explain to me. He just said, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and the such-and-such guy's running for sheriff, and he's a good guy, so I fully endorse him. This is what I came back to the guy. Explain your affinity to Mr. So-and-so for the office of Shire Bailiff rather than the current, and I named the current guy. Now, the current guy is darker skinned than the guy running. That shouldn't matter, should it? Okay. In other words, the current guy in office has a fabulous, just, he's equipped beautifully with melanin. Just deep, dark, rich skin, tall, strong, good-looking guy. The other guy, lighter skin, no melanin, it's got to use sunscreen. A little bit shorter, big, strong, stocky guy. Both guys, lots of experience. But one guy's been running, the guy currently there has been running the sheriff's department for a long time. Things are running pretty good. But the new guy talks to a friend of mine, and he says, I've talked to him, he's a great guy. You know, I really fully endorse it. So I said, is your affinity to this new guy, rather than the old guy, is the current administration dysfunctional? Are you raising under political banners? The new guy is a Republican. The old guy is Democrat. Are there weightier constitutional, biblical, or moral bases for your endorsement? And we're going to see what he said here. What do you think about? I got to tell you, you know, a lot of people say with the current political parties, they're two of the same. I said on one radio show, when I was talking about the California primary, I said the Democrat from New York won the California Democratic primary, and the Democrat from Arizona won the Republican primary in California. And I said that yesterday to William Collins, and he laughed. He was my guest, and he's running for office. He laughed, and he got it. He picked it up. You know, it's right now the parties have swung to moderate socialists to extreme socialists, anarchists, Marxists. And sometimes we explain what those terms mean here on the show, but right now I'll just use labels. So that's where it's going. And those who used to be old school, like, you know, kind of like the way the thinking of the founding of the nation kind of folks, those guys are just labeled as a bunch of nuts. But, oh my goodness, I mean, those guys are well-educated, really know what's going on, know what it is that's going to preserve a society, but they're just kind of left out in the cold. So at this point, if somebody runs for office, like the gentleman running for the Socialist Party, the Democratic Party is carrying out the Socialist Party agenda. They're just doing it. Why won't he join the big power base? He could get in on the flow and just have a good time. So it may be, and I think of a gentleman from Pennsylvania, senator from Pennsylvania, who's been claiming to be in the Republican Party this time, just recently switched to the Democratic Party. He has been operating in the Democratic perspective for decades. So there's people that jump into a party because locals who are watching their cable TV vote along party lines, not on the basis of ideology. I think this guy, I don't think he's sitting there and thinking about the office of sheriff, how it's been functioning, what it takes to run that particular office. You know what he's thinking? Politics. I think he's thinking politics and affiliation. And you're going to disrupt a functional function of government because of politics? Vanity, vanity. That is vanity. It may. Have you talked to this other guy? I bet he goes along and says the party politic thing and smiles and shake hands, the current guy in office. And you know what? That he's the typical guy in office in America. I will just tell you, he's doing a beautiful job running the sheriff's department. Bless his heart. You know, goes to church, probably grieves over the amount of in utero infanticide that's happening in America, probably feels powerless to do anything about it. But you know what he's doing? He's paying attention to his job of being the Shire bailiff administrator. So I'm challenging my friend, why are you dissing the current guy and going to invoke people voting? Is it party lines? You know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have somebody in the Democratic Party who's taking the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong, and is going to have an opportunity within that group to convey things to people. Right? Now, it's just something to think about. It's kind of like the lady Emily Fitzpatrick we talked to yesterday, going to dance clubs and to these girls who are being exploited, and they're paying for their college or whatever they're doing, or they're paying for their kids that they have that they've been left to take care of. They're doing things, they're being exploited, allowing themselves to be exploited. And a lot of them don't have a choice. And people, you know, in consternation, rebuke these folks for going in and giving things to these young ladies, giving them something of hope, a gift, a blessing of love. Their goal is not to advance their dancing career. Their goal is to encourage them that there's a possibility that there's a way out of the mire. So I'd rather have somebody in the mire with a rope than to have somebody merely just setting up stake on the other mire pit and affiliating with people for political pragmatism while their airplane is in a nosedive. The number here is 888-850-1872. When you vote for somebody, do you vote along party lines? I would say, are you going to vote because, watch this, do you vote because you think, well, they just don't have a chance of winning? Among people who vote according to that fear-based, lack of faith-based facade of pragmatism, because it's fake pragmatism, it will eventually find you out and you will suffer according to your capitulation. Why not, especially in a primary, render your voice and make known what you're willing to support? Find out those candidates over this next year who actually can speak the truth and are willing to stand for it. Even one who doesn't speak well, even, but is willing to not compromise. Well, they'll never be able to operate in the legislature. Well, maybe if everybody in every sector, in every district, votes their conscience, then what happens is you're going to have the legislature change. You have a bunch of novices in there who don't know what to do. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to read the Constitution. I'm telling you, there's folks that I did interview Senator Fasano. You know what? He was aware of the Constitution. The guy was sharp. I enjoyed it. I thought, oh, we're going to mess with this guy. We're going to pose some questions on him and kind of heckle him. He was on top of it. Man, it was great. So I ended up learning. It's very exciting. So obviously I go, ooh, this is a guy who's conscientious. He's serving. He's serving his fellow man conscientiously. That's really cool, you know. So whether or not you agree with him, that's a whole different thing, but that's fine. I just was inspired by that. But are there folks right now, you could ask them, what does the Constitution say? If you said to them, explain the single subject rule, what's the basis of that? Some of them may be able to actually describe to you that it exists. Well, silly folks like us here on Liberty Works Radio Network, we read the founding, the stuff that came prior to the U.S. Constitution that was a chastisement in the commentaries on the English and common law that said that it was how horrible it would be, it is, for legislators to go to such a high office and don't have a clue about the law that they're voting on, you know, and to obscure things. And so there was a tradition in the founding of America that they would have single object laws or single subject laws where it, in the object, in Florida's case, the subject has to be in the title. The subject of transportation, the object is parking fees or something, you know. So that's the kind of thing that people have to face when they go to legislature. A lot of times what they're doing is they've had the right kind of handshake that got them into the right club around the right promotions within their party in order for them to be elevated in a sector or a district that, say, Republican, for instance. Everybody just votes Republican. So if they get the nomination, they're in. Then they just got to schmooze. And then once they get into the legislature to get their bills passed, they've got to schmooze. They're forgetting that, hey, your bill may be something that you don't want to pass. Your next door neighbor, who happens to be of the same party, may have a bill that's dangerous. You're there to avoid, avert, and to check every dangerous innovation and uphold the Constitution. That is what your oath is about. No matter how you got there, you get to, at the point you get there, sell out those guys who put you there, or don't take the oath. Your oath shifted. Did you have a prior oath that would supersede? If you say, well, my oath is to those who put me into office, and that supersedes your application to your oath before to uphold your office. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show. You can tune in to our website, faithfreedoms.org. I had an interview on Friday that I'm going to post to faithfreedoms.net. It's going to happen over this weekend. I'll try to remind you guys on Monday, but sometime maybe tomorrow you go to faithfreedoms.net. You can do a search of my name, David Allen Carmichael, just like Alan Grayson, A-L-A-N, right? And you can check that out. And what I'm going to do is I had an interview on Friday where the posed the question, was Jesus a socialist? And I addressed that kind of lightly and in an upbeat way. It's quite entertaining. It's actually stimulating. So I'm going to post that to our podcast website at faithfreedoms.net, and you'll be able to listen to that, but it's going to take me, I might even be able to do it in the next hour or two, depending on whether I get interrupted. And I'm going to try to pull that off so that tonight, if you want to tune into that, was Jesus a socialist? Excellent stuff. And there's some other good things that you might want to listen to and share with your friends. But we're going to be back on Monday, and we're going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. You can hold me accountable to that standard, and I don't mind. And I don't mind eating crow. Well, actually, I would be uncomfortable eating crow, but I would love it if you'd hold me accountable, because that's what this is really about. Let's get to the truth. Hold each other accountable in a right reference.